decided, and the house it won't stand, and the world divided.
From sea to shining sea, throughout the solar system, and extending to interstellar regions beyond, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I appreciate it. I know you could be doing a million other things. Seriously, I understand that, especially since this is weekend eve. You know, it's Friday night, and there are just millions of things you could be doing, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate it. I was ill last night. I could not be here. And I hope you enjoyed the Best of Kevin replay that we did. And it's kind of unusual. I went out to eat, and right after I went out to eat, I got ill. It's a place where I've eaten many times before, so I don't know. Maybe it was the food, maybe it was something else, I don't know. Anyway, I'm back and feeling good, and we've got a great show lined up for you tonight with Jeff Harvey as our guest. He's got some pretty amazing things to share with us about some experiments and developments that he's been doing with things of the mind. And also, let me say, because we have a lot of people who are new and don't know, we publish a newsletter. It is called The K-Files. We publish it twice each month, every other week. So on some months, it turns out to be three times. But every other week. Tonight's the night. We will begin sending out The K-Files after the show tonight. And so you've still got time right now to subscribe. It's absolutely free. I mean, totally, completely free, no strings attached. And all you have to do to subscribe is get over to my website. That's kevinsmithshow.com. kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get there, look for the big word in the middle of your screen. You cannot miss it. K-Files. Click that, subscribe, you will automatically, instantly receive an email at the address you use to subscribe. And that email will have a link in it that you have to click in order for you to activate your subscription. As I said, I'm delighted to be here, and I'm here because you matter. And because you have a right to know. We'll be exploring some things tonight that may, for some of you, it may be your first excursion into this kind of information. But Jeff has been with us, oh, I don't know, many, many times over the years. And I'm delighted that he is with us again tonight. He shared with me some of what he's going to talk about here tonight. And this afternoon, as we talked, and I'm looking forward to it. Let me just say to Jeff, we do have you on Skype. Pardon me. But we do not have your video. So maybe we can get that fixed during the during the upcoming break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to step away for a couple of minutes. We'll be back right after this.
All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jeff Harvey. In previous appearances here on the show, Jeff has talked with us about such a wide range of things, but he has talked with us a little bit about the technology that we're going to discuss this evening, and this is
this takes us further along. He's now done some of the experimentation that he had told us that he hoped to do. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that, and I think you're going to find that real interesting. But then, in addition, he told me a story today that I really want us to start out with, and that is about a farm. And Jeff, welcome to the show.
Kevin, good to talk to you.
Let me warn everyone that he's been having problems in his location today with power going off, and that happened right in the beginning of the show, and so you didn't see it, but it did happen, and so it could happen again. You know, there's all kinds of weird stuff that is going on with the weather, and that may be weather related, it may be construction related, I don't know. But if we lose Jeff, then we'll just continue on and reconnect when we can. But the power has been a situation for him today. Jeff, share with the audience, if you will, that I found it to be a really interesting and even amazing story about a farm near where you grew up.
Well, this was interesting in that when I grew up, I was in a little town called White Mills, Pennsylvania, population about 594. And as a child, I wasn't, shall we say, the most obedient. I'd wander long distances from home. We're talking 20 miles or so. And I was one to take a rifle and go over my back and go hunting in the woods and spend the whole day out there and just enjoy myself. And I got grounded a lot. And the only thing I had in the bedroom was a dictionary and an encyclopedia, and you could only read so much of that before you got to just do something else. And I was looking out the window one day. I was up on the second story, and it overlooked the street down below, which is about, I don't know, about a half a mile away, in the main street, which is Route 6 that goes through town. And one day I looked, and there was a whole fleet of Army Corps of Engineer vehicles, everything, deuce and a halves, dump trucks, all kinds of gear. And they took a right hook down by where the firehouse used to be and went down the road that goes down across the bridge across the Lackawaxen River and took a left on River Road. And at the end of that is the railroad tracks, and across that is one lone farmhouse, the Masker Ranch. As a boy, I used to go down there and do a lot of fishing along the river down there and that brook that came from down off the hill, because it was loaded with native trout. And I was very curious about this, and you know, I finally got ungrounded, went down there, and started exploring. And I couldn't find any trace of construction anywhere. It was the weirdest thing you ever saw. And about, a quarter mile upstream, up the railroad tracks, there was an excavation site for a sand pit, which operated for a period of time and then stopped, almost as if somebody started the excavation there as a cover for something else that was going on. And so it was very interesting. And what we did was, is we started exploring that whole hillside, and we couldn't find a thing. So fast forward to a little later, there would be times we'd go fishing down there. And when you get to the railroad tracks at the end of the road goes over the railroad tracks and up another, a couple of hundred yards to their house. And then further on, up into the woods, via a logging road that was very, very flat. So we would take a left down the railroad tracks and go fishing. And invariably, someone would wind up coming down the railroad tracks a long distance and tell us, "You can't be here. This is private property." Now, it wasn't, because the railroad has a right-of-way down through there, and we were fishing from the right-of-way. And so one day I just decided, years later, after I'd been in intel for a long time, I said, you know, something doesn't fly right here. So I went back to town, And I stopped in at the local gas station, Watson Brothers. And I knew all of those people because I played ice hockey with them up at their house. We would go hunting with Jeff, their son, and others. And we knew them quite well. And I asked them, I said, do you remember the Army Corps of Engineers coming in here? And they flatly told me no. And it was almost like a rehearsed response. Now, if you run a gas station in a little one-horse town like that, and a fleet of Army Corps of Engineers trucks comes by, stays in town for a couple of weeks on a dig, and then goes away, you would think that the Army Corps of Engineers has to get some gas, wouldn't you? Since that's the only gas station for many miles.
Yeah.
So you would have thought they would have remembered that. So they said they didn't. So I said, okay. So I said, well, I think it's time we did a little reconnoitering. So I went up to Cherry Ridge Airport. There was a gentleman that had a brand spanking new helicopter. And this helicopter was very interesting in that it was just a little two-seater bug, but it was brand new. It had all the best electronics and everything, and the doors were off. So I had just bought a couple of 100 acres of property up in Wayne County at the time, and I was going to overfly it and take a bunch of photos from the air. And before I did that, I had him head out over that ranch or that farm, and I had them take a look at the whole hillside behind it where all the excavation was going. And all you saw were a few logging roads, and they were perfectly clean. I mean perfectly clean. There was no sign of logging. There was no sign of anything. But it was perfectly clean. I thought, you know, this is really odd because these are fresh logging roads, and yet there's no trees cut anywhere. So I tucked that in my hat. And a couple of years later, as you know, I went on the History Channel because of the implant that they found in my leg and they took out. And I took the producer of the show and I took him up and I showed him that ranch when they were filming my backstory. And when I took them up there, it just happened to be a day when there was a light dusting of snow up there. So we drove across the railroad tracks and right up the guy's driveway, and there is almost never any cars there, ever, the whole time we go there. But yet somebody miraculously appears if you go down the railroad tracks too far. So we went up there, and sure enough, there were skinny little Jeep military tire tracks. And I should know what they look like. I was in the military long enough. And they were coming right out of the woods up there. And these roads were literally pristine, Kevin. They looked like they'd been traveled every day. So I told him the story. We took the pictures, and we headed off. And, of course, you never saw that on the UFO Hunters episode because we all know what the History Channel is, and they do anything but tell the truth about history. So it was interesting that that happened. And so I said, well, this is getting too anomalous. So it wasn't long after that. I think it was, about 4 months back from today. I had decided, I was on a radio show, and I remember discussing this. And so I thought about this, and I said, you know something? I should get up on Google and go take a look at this thing. Because Google usually paints out the big military installations they don't want you to know about. But they don't waste their time on something that's very well camouflaged because there's just nothing to see. So I took a look at Google Earth. And sure enough, it was pretty barren looking. You could see the logging roads and things, but it was barren. And then I remembered across the river, the Lackawaxen River, directly across the direction I came from, and down, maybe a mile or so towards the east, towards Hawley. Across the river, there was a fellow by the name of Mason who had bought many hundreds of acres up there in the woods. And he discouraged any kind of visitors of any kind, and that's okay. I'm good with being private. I think that's a great idea. But I thought to myself, you know something? Something tells me I should go take a look at that. So I whipped that up on Google Earth, and lo and behold, there's an awfully big excavation going on over there, and it looks like some kind of an installation from the air. Now, I haven't looked at it since. But my thought was, is they absolutely did do something over in our sleepy little town, because I found out later on that evidently we were considered a UFO flyway. And there is a reasonably locally famous crash of an alien craft in Reinings Pond, a few miles west of there. And supposedly a UFO crashed, and the Army came in literally within hours. And they came in, scooped everything up, cordoned the area off, and they turned it into a state-owned property, and nobody's allowed access. And they say that they use it for raising bait fish. Well, if you take a look, there's no real pond there anymore. It's like a marsh. They're not trying to raise a squat. So it looks to me like something happened, and they don't want anybody to find any extra pieces from whatever the crash was. So we've got an interesting area over there where I grew up, and so there may be some more connections.
Do you think that the implant that was in your leg may be related to you being from that area?
I can't help but wonder, because when they did a regression of me years later at the when I went out for the surgery with the History Channel, Yvonne Smith regressed me, and she couldn't get down deep enough past the blocks that were put in. But we did get something that indicated somewhere around the age of 5 or 6, something happened where I was in the bottom floor of our home, which was where my grandparents lived, in the kitchen. I remember the picture of the dog Scrappy going by, and my grandmother frozen in place. And I remember bilocating and seeing my mother upstairs frozen in place, and something coming through the back door. So I'm not sure if that's a screen memory or if it's reality, but that's what turned up. But they never got down to the real why, how, when, and what actually happened. Mm-hmm. Because evidently there was a block or a screen memory in there.
So this implant could have been in your leg since age 5.
It could have been in that long, yes. So my original thoughts of it being military intelligence aren't necessarily not true, but they may have been involved in that same thing way back when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, some sort of military is involved in some of these things with the ETs.
Well, it certainly, I mean, you know, from the accounts that we have from people who are experiencers, I use that word because some people say abductees, some people say contactees, whatever. The stories that we have from some of them certainly tell us that there are military involved, at least from these stories, these accounts. The interesting thing to me is how many of these stories where they say military is involved, the witness can't really describe the uniform very well for you.
Right. And I don't have a memory of any military uniform or any military personnel in that particular memory. But I'm not going to discount that it's possible they were involved. I don't discount anything until I have what I would consider final knowledge of the event. And as you and I both know, when you get memories of this nature, it's difficult to ascertain sometimes whether they're screen memories that were implanted or whether they're reality or whether they're just your imagination running wild. And so I prefer to just state the facts, and if somebody wants to know what I think happened, that's what I'll say.
Okay, so do you think that you were abducted back then?
That's something I don't honestly know. I had an impression, I guess is the best way to phrase it, of something happening up in Kaiser's Field, which was just the next property above us on the hill. And it was a very big, wide field that had obviously a lot of room for anything to land there. You could probably fit a jet in that thing. It was huge. So I had an impression of something being there, but I've got no visual of seeing something there. And that's the best I can do because I can't pull anything more out of it. I've been using the Shiva Neural Stimulation System and radionics for years now, trying to uncover past memories, and I've got a few. I've unlocked a few that I know are fact. I learned how to block the contact that came to me sometimes as a small child using my nervous system. And I didn't realize I had done that for years until, this is only in the last year this happened. I was doing a session, and I remember going into the session, and an image appeared in my mind. And as soon as it did, my body and my whole nervous system took a jerk, and it shut the image off, as if I was saying, no, don't come in. And I remembered vividly then being a child and learning to do this to block out that stuff. So evidently there was some kind of contact being attempted when I was little. I wasn't comfortable with it, and I learned a way to use my nervous system to block it. And that was interesting because this only came to me in the last year after, well, using these stimulation devices since 2010 and only picking up bits and pieces. That was the first really, really solid early memory that I was able to recapture. I picked up a few older ones.
We're going to have to step away here in just a few seconds for a break. And when we come back, you've mentioned using, I think you said radionics, is that right?
Correct.
I want us to get into that and sort of get an update on where that technology has led you and where it is leading you. And the timeline thing that you mentioned, if you feel comfortable talking about that,
yes.
We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. All right, folks, we will be back right after this.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeff Harvey. Jeff, check the messages I've been sending you. All right. We are talking with Jeff Harvey about, we've been talking about some pretty strange stuff that has happened during his childhood, but then we have now moved. He mentioned using radionics, and so we're moving to that topic. But before we actually move to that topic and talk about your use of it, explain what radionics is, Jeff.
Boy, that's an interesting question, because there's as many definitions as there are, well, truth. Let's go over this real quick. There is a Navy experiment that happened here in Pennsylvania many years ago. And what they did was they had a field, a cornfield, that was loaded with locusts. And they were testing out the use of scalar waves. So outside of the field, a few feet, they drove a stake into the ground or a pipe or a post, and they put a box on the top of it. In the box, they put a vial of pesticides. They stepped back a few more feet, and they took a scalar wave generator, and they blasted through the box and sent scalar waves through the box and the pesticide vial, picking up the information field of the pesticides, and they drove it into the field and wiped out the locusts. From that point on, radionics in our country went dark.
Well, so, what do you mean it went dark?
Well, you don't really see any manuals out there anywhere on deep discussion of it. You don't see it taught in schools anywhere. They don't allow it to be taught, that I can tell, anywhere in our country.
Okay.
It's not in classic academia. In other countries, there are institutions that teach radionics and how to use it. But in our country, it's being as controlled as we are in the media, it's quite dark. So really, what scalar waves and radionics are, you do radionics operations every day of your life since you're as a child, because each hemisphere of your brain puts out scalar waves. So wherever you point your attention, that's where the energy or the scalar waves go. And you've noticed, if you stare at the back of somebody's neck long enough, they're going to snap around and look to see what's going on, because they can feel the wave hit, and it bounces back to you, then back to them, and it refines further and further into a very pencil-like beam. But it comes out of each hemisphere in like a triangle pattern when it hits the actual target. So it's like an interferometer, just like you would do if you were generating a holographic waveform. You take two laser beams.
And let's go back to that field for a moment.
Sure.
How can they be sure that the scalar wave picked up the information from the vial of pesticide and that's what killed the locust, as opposed to the scalar wave killing the locust itself?
Well, because they've done a lot of experiments just with scalar waves, and scalar waves do nothing more than carry information.
Okay.
You can point a scalar wave generator at somebody. You do it all the time. Every time you look at someone, you're pointing a scalar wave generator at them, and you don't kill them. So it's not the wave, it's the information the wave carries.
Okay.
It's basically a carrier wave for information fields. And all life and all everything has information fields around every molecule. And those are what the scalar waves seem to be particularly good at carrying. And they do it at faster than the speed of light.
Okay.
That's the theory.
All right. And so because of that experiment and the results that they got, they took radionics dark.
Yeah.
All right. So how are you into it? How is it possible for you to be into radionics if all this is dark?
Well, I heard about this a very long time ago. And when I was in the military, I was looking into and snooping around in things like the Philadelphia experiment. And when I started doing that, I got shut down really fast. And, you know, I heard about radionics over and over. I keep hearing the term. And I thought, you know, I've been in electronics for years, but I don't know this radionics bug. So a couple of years ago, I decided, because many of my clients were saying, look, you've been in electronics, you've been in the intelligence community, you know, what can you tell us? We want to get into radionics, but we don't know what to do, and we trust your opinion. So I took months, and I went and searched. I went through many different countries. I looked at their devices, what they used them for, how they used them, the doodads they put on them, and what they claimed. And, you know, I found a lot of junk out there. I found a lot of traditional devices that have basically resistors and geometric patterns that carry energy, and they collapse the waveform down and create the scalar wave to direct, but none of them had any kind of generation capability other than the human operator that was operating it. And I thought to myself, no wonder so many people complain when they use traditional ones too much. They seem to get weakened because they're using their own bioenergy field to power the operation. Now let's step back one step further at the earliest uses that I know of it. You know, the Aztecs and many of the priest societies many years ago, they would be up on their ziggurats and they'd haul up a young brave up there and they'd stake him right there on the table and yank his heart out. And basically, they would be doing what they called a radionics operation, using the life force leaving the body to direct it towards the target as the carrier wave, because the life force is in a scalar wave pattern or format. And I think there's a lot of misconception over this because people will call them tachyon waves and torsion waves and scalar waves. And all of these terms are valid, but it's basically different scientists naming it with their own pet name for the same thing they're talking about.
I like quadrupedal waves myself.
I may start using that.
Yeah, quadrupedal waves.
Yeah. So really there's a lot of nomenclature out there, but they're all talking about the same thing. The bioenergy fields that we put out that are directable with the mind. So what you're really asking me, I think, is how do we know these things actually do what we think they do?
No, I will get to that, though. What I'm really asking is, how is it, if all this stuff has gone black, how do you have access to it?
Okay. These are available in the public all around the world. There are manufacturers of these devices, but as you note, nothing in academia ever discusses it. Okay. So there's not like some big body of evidence or discussion over it, other than, you know, a few crackpots and a few serious people, and the serious people don't talk about it. So I ran across a guy named Carl Wells, who's an Austrian immigrant who was doing prana yoga and things like that when he was a youngster. And he was into life force, and he studied Wilhelm Reich and his orgone accumulators, which are a living energy accumulator. You know, they just use layers of metal and cotton or wool or something in layers, and it attracts or accumulates this type of energy. The problem is that Reich, his devices, would charge a person up, but after a certain period of use, they would seem to go dead, and then they actually damaged the human organism. And he called them deadly orgone generators, when in fact they were nothing more than an accumulator that no longer could be pulsed strong enough to keep that energy alive. And what makes orgone stay alive is the pulsing of the Earth's resonance fields. And it's not just 7.8 whatever hertz. That's only one of many Earth resonance fields that we have. It just happens to be the strongest one currently. But there's 14.3, there's 20.8, 27.3, 33.8, and a whole host of others. But those are the ones I work with in my device, in my generator. But I went to this guy, Carl Wells, and I read his information. He calls it magic, quote unquote. And I asked him, you know, why are you using a term like this? This is bogus. And basically what I got from the conversation was, is our government is absolutely anti-radionics in the hands of the average person, because many people use it for health work and they compete against the pharmaceutical companies. and many people could turn these into a weaponized unit. I know how to do that. And so...
And you know how to do that. Why? Because of your military background?
No, because I spoke to someone who has done it repeatedly and gotten the effects. And once he explained how it worked, it was pretty clear that, my God, I don't get how I didn't figure that out earlier. I knew how to do it prior to him telling me about the way he did it, but my way was very coarse, shall we speak. In other words, let's say you take the input field and you stick a bottle of cyanide there and you drive your waves out to the target. It's no different than the pesticides going to the field. So it can be done. So there's a lot you can do with things of this nature, but you really have to be careful, because here's something that nobody talks about except for a few of the really advanced practitioners. There is something called bounce back. Now let's go back to the discussion of you generating scalar waves with your mind, looking at the back of someone's neck and bouncing the waves off of it, and they come back to you, and then they bounce back again, and they refine down into a pencil-thin beam. All right? So you send that energy out, and part of it always bounces back. Well, you go putting something nasty in there, you're going to get a little dose yourself now, aren't you?
Yeah.
So there are ways of using alternate target structures to solve that if you do it the way I was attempting to put down into my records. So he came up with a way that's just stupendous, which is to allow them to draw the actual thing into them. So that was a much better way of getting the job done. And I could see why he said that, and I thought it was a great idea. I'm not going to go into it because I don't think I want everybody out there playing with these toys. I've got some degree of responsibility, I guess.
Well, so, I would think so, yeah. Now, we're just a couple of minutes here, less than 2 minutes away from a break. But why did you decide, in a minute, just tell us in a minute, why did you decide to use this device on yourself?
Well, I realized what really was going on here. When Carl put out that it was for magic, I looked into what magic really is, and it's really radionics operations. But what they attempt to do in all ritual organizations is to try and get your own subconscious to do things it doesn't normally do. And I was trying to wake up latent memories or hidden memories from what happened to me, and I thought this was the ideal tool for it, and it turns out it is.
Okay.
We'll get now, into that later on.
Yeah, we're going to step away for the break. And when we come back, I want to discuss what it is you specifically were trying to do with this. And then the timeline thing you told me about, if you feel comfortable talking about that, we'll get into that when we come back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to step away, and we shall return in... two or three minutes. In the meantime, go over to Jeff's website and check out what he's got over there. I think you'll find it very interesting. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Harvey. And we're discussing radionics and his use of radionics. I had asked the question, why did you decide you wanted to use radionics on yourself? And we were just getting into that when the break took over. So let's just kind of recap that and then we'll move on.
Sure. I've been trying to uncover past memories about things that have been compartmentalized and that are clearly way tucked down in deep behind blocks I put in as a child and blocks that were perhaps put in later when I was in the military. And I want that information. I don't like even the hint of an idea that something in my own mind is hidden from me. And most people don't realize that these devices are ideal for that, but they're very good for a couple of things. They're great for affecting physiological processes and for psychological processes. So my goal for years has been to link the conscious mind to the unconscious mind. And what I found when we run a radionics operation is that, you know, people will say, well, why do you have a radionics device that's not traditional? And it's pretty simple. A traditional radionics device uses your own bioenergy field to run the operation. And once you stop thinking about whatever the target is, you stop sending those massive amounts of biofield energies to the target. What we found later was that that's not 100% true. What actually happens is you saturate the field of your target, whatever that happens to be, a person, place, or a thing, or an event. And that field, when it saturates, it will slowly ebb away unless something keeps it alive. And we couldn't understand why sometimes it would ebb away at a regular rate, and other times it would ebb away unbelievably slowly and continue to operate. And then we figured out what was going on. Your subconscious mind is capable of doing thousands of operations at the same time and focusing on thousands of different things. It's the ultimate parallel processor. So we really figured out that what was going on was once your conscious mind stops thinking about it and you go have a sandwich, your subconscious mind is still feeding energy from your biofield to it at a lower rate, because it's dividing your energy up amongst many tasks. And so with a generator in your radionics device, you can actually divorce your mind from it, or your conscious mind. Your subconscious will keep directing the energy flow there a little bit, but because you have a generator in your radionics device that generates an orgone field, these are accumulators, and you use your mind to put that field to the target as an energy source. So what happens really is that your subconscious will keep generating or keep targeting the target with that field your generator keeps running long after, you know, you went to the movies or did something else. So that's really what's going on.
I had asked you in a previous show if the use of these devices was in any way potentially harmful, and if I remember correctly, you said that you didn't think that it would be harmful unless somebody misused it.
Correct. I still believe that.
All right, tell us about the timeline thing that you've been doing with this?
All right. One of the things that I've been attempting to do is find out if you've heard the term timeline. Everybody in the New Age community and the information community is all talking about us having multiple timelines or multiple realities that are operational at the same time, just maybe slightly different. Maybe you're wearing a different shirt today. Maybe you don't have a really nice beard. You're in that one, you're a doctor versus a lawyer. And there may be countless numbers of those iterations going on at the same time. So my thought was, well, if the best remote viewers on the planet are talking about this timeline issue, and I know some really good ones because I was trained by some, I think that maybe I need to start playing with it. So instead of doing it with traditional remote viewing, I decided to use the radionics device to do it, because the difference between a radionics operation and a remote viewing operation using coordinate remote viewing isn't all that big a leap. You both use a question or a cue or the operation you want done, structured a certain way so that you make structural links to the information field you're trying to connect to. You do that in both remote viewing, in coordinate remote viewing, and you do it in radionics. So I thought, well, let's start working on the timelines and see what I can do for myself. So I wrote a program taking the most successful timeline strategies from multiple timelines and incorporating them into my consciousness, in my conscious and unconscious mind, in this timeline. And I wrote this program months ago, and within days of saturation, and I think I saturated that about 2 weeks, within days of saturation, all kinds of things started happening to me. And I do mean all kinds of things. I was getting favors done for me. I was getting all kinds of invitations to do different things that normally I wouldn't get. And it was clearly having an effect. So your question would be, is it influencing a real event or a timeline strategy and bringing it into the conscious mind and unconscious mind? Or did it enable a part of our unconscious mind that's not usually exercised to go do its job? And that's a great question.
You shared with me, though, that you did have some negative effects from that.
Okay. That's a different program that I ran. Now, this program was basically designed. I had been speaking to several people who we've been discussing my vision issues for a while, and I've done some of the best homeopathic preparations and things to rejuvenate the microcapillaries in my eyes, which leak. And usually, you know, it's a matter of being able to get the right nutrient to make those cell walls get more rubbery and plastic so they don't crack and leak. And I took all the right components, got them into my system, absorbed them in, and went on a regimen of this for a couple of months. And I was able to get some benefit from it, but not enough so that I could really do what I need to do with my vision. So I spoke to a couple of people who suggested there may be some kind of a block that was put in a long time ago that I'm not addressing and I didn't deal with, and my unconscious is manifesting it in a physical matter, which we all know can happen. If you take enough baggage and stuff it in a hole somewhere, sooner or later, you're going to get ill from it in whatever area that it's, you know, going to affect. So I thought, well, there might be something to this because I have always had a problem with time and time travel. There is something about it that bugs me. It makes me incredibly sad, and I can't understand why. There's no logical reason for that. So I wrote a program hell-bent on trying to find out what's going on. So I wrote a program to use my conscious mind and all unconscious minds to link to all of my past lives and future lives to bring that information directly into my consciousness so that I could deal with it and work it out. I no more than launched that program and I was in tears for the next 4 to 6 hours. And I have no excuse for it. I have no idea why. But that was obviously there's something to something with something back there causing me a problem. So I think it was 2 nights ago.
You would not consider this to be a negative side effect of this?
It's not really negative. It was actually quite confirming to me that there is something going on emotionally way back there somewhere. And I don't know if it's in this lifetime or a past one or how that works, but something is really causing me an issue.
All right. We are going to step away for a break. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to explore this situation that Jeff has just shared with us. We'll explore that just a little bit more. And then eventually here, we're going to open up the telephone line so you can call in with your questions or comments. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you are here, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. Also, my sincere hopes, prayers, dreams, wishes, all aimed at hoping that you never suffer that tragedy again. We are talking this evening with Jeff Harvey, and he shared in the first hour, the very first thing right off the bat, a very interesting story from his, began in his childhood, actually while he was grounded. And then we move forward in time and further developments in that story about some kind of strange activity taking place, perhaps an underground installation or something taking place near where he grew up. But then we have moved now into his use of radionics, what radionics is, and the type of radionics device that he uses and why. And as we went away for break, just before we went away, Jeff, I got you to tell us about using it in this experiment that ended up with you in tears for 4 to 6 hours. And I had asked, you know, well, wouldn't you consider that to be a negative side effect? You don't consider that to be a negative side effect. You said you felt it was quite confirming. But do you know what it confirmed?
Well, it confirms to me that there is an emotional component tied to either past or future lives for me that is a real problem. Now, something that happened during this I didn't discuss is, a long time ago, there was a captain with the Army who had gotten out of the Army, and he and I attended remote viewing training together. And this guy is brilliant beyond your wildest dreams. And he and I went, and we were interested in dowsing, so we thought we'd look into that. So we went to a Raymond Grace conference up in Binghamton. And in this, they had taught us dowsing, and we practiced it a little bit. And then he said, now we're going to do the rest of the day an emotional clearing exercise. So he broke us up into groups of five, and he opened up a curtain to another room, and there were tables all over the place, you know, massage tables you lay on. And basically, you got a team of 4 or 5 people around the table, and each person takes their turn going on the table and going into a meditative state to basically attempt to do a regression and go back and see if there were any kind of injuries that might be holding you back in this lifetime. And, you know, he warned that, you know, there could be some emotional upsets in there. And I'm like, yeah, right, that's funny. Because I just didn't buy into it. And so we start doing this, and one after one, you're seeing all these tables around there and people working on each other. And man, we had all kinds of stuff. People were feeling like they'd been shot with a gun, shot with an arrow, stabbed with a spear, you name it, all kinds of crap. When it got to my turn, several things came up. One, that I wasn't able to save a girl. And I couldn't understand why it tore me up so bad. You know, if you can't save someone, you can't save someone. At least you tried. And then another one was me standing on a hill with some military figure, troops behind us on this big bluff overlooking a bay in the ocean. And below us, tall ships, sailing ships, just beating the crap out of each other. And we were there watching the battle. And evidently, I was in some sort of a strange advisory capacity, because I certainly wasn't one of the troops. So I don't know what that was, and that to me said, okay, all right, that was a neat little view. I wonder where that came from, because nobody suggested anything to me. So fast forward a few years, and I do this experiment the other night, and it was very interesting, because I started out, I can't remember what time in the day, but in the middle of this thing, I had a flashback to it, and evidently that was my wife that I wasn't able to save, or my life mate, whoever she was. So that explained a little bit of that and gave me some confirmation. But again, this is open to interpretation. That's just what it felt like to me. So when you're playing around in your conscious and unconscious mind, you need to be somebody who doesn't fear what they're going to run into. You have to be interested in being open to see what you might get and weigh it for whether or not there's any truth in it. And that's what I do.
How can you be sure? For instance, this memory of not being able to save your wife. How can you be sure that's a memory of yours as opposed to you picking up consciousness from somebody else?
You know, that's a great question, because I'm of the opinion that we link to other people all the time. And as you know, I used a link to other conscious minds to get me my data. And my reason behind linking to other conscious minds to get the data from my past and future lives is because I thought to myself, well, what if somebody else saw something that relates to me that I didn't see? Maybe somebody else has some data that will be helpful to me. But your point is really valid, because you don't know. You have an inkling. You've got a feeling. You know, to use the woo-woo term, it resonates with you. It doesn't matter. All I'm looking for is answers that will fit. And if it turns out that they are really reality, great. I should see a leveling of that kind of feeling or emotion anytime I hit that subject again. Because if you get to the answer and you deal with it and you're okay with it, just like any other trauma in your life, you should be able to get past it, accept it, and make it a part of your thought process and be okay with it without having to dredge it up and experience bad feelings all the time. You know, when I was a kid, you know, you get a whipping by your dad a few times, and that can be pretty traumatic if it's a real big one. But yet, you look at it, you realize what happened, and you get on with it and you move on. Other people, they don't get on with it and move on because they don't deal with it. And so they carry baggage with them their whole lives. So my goal is to dig in there and find any baggage that might be yet unopened, open it, peer in, pull it out, deal with it, and get it out of the way so I can get on with my life in other ways. So your answer to your question is I don't honestly know yet, but I'm leaning towards my conclusion.
All right. I want to open the telephone lines and invite the audience to join the conversation, and it's pretty easy to do that, folks. If you have a question or a comment for Jeff, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Now, if you are in the USA or you're in Canada, please use that telephone number. If you're outside the USA or you're outside of Canada, we have an additional option for you. You can use that number, but we also have the option called a flash message. So if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, then you can use the flash message option on my website at kevinsmithshow.com. Just scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture, you will see the link that says flash message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Jeff, I really wish I could afford one of your things, but here's a question for you. Would it be possible, this is theoretically, you might want to conduct some experiments, you get one beaker of clean water and another beaker of water you contaminate, run your radionics through the clean water and see what it does to the contaminated water. Do you think it would clean it up?
All right. First of all, it's good to talk to you again, Brett. There have been several experiments like that that have been successful. What you use as a structural link to go to your target because is important. And what you're using is the clean beaker of water. That's your structural link or your trend that you're going to use to have the effect on the target, which is the dirty water. Raymond Grace, the guy I told you about that does the dowsing, he has actually been able to clear water using radionics waves from his mind. And I don't know how that works, but I'm assuming the same principle. But I don't see any reason that it can't be. Now, taking this one step further, Brent, over in the UK, they have a whole bay of five or more of the big machines running. And they use them to clear forests. And they have proven that you can clear the damage from pollution out of a forest using radionics in just that manner.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. Could they clean up chemtrails?
It's interesting to try these experiments because I'm of the opinion you get a few thousand people with a device and then you get a few million people just using their mind, you could clean up the Gulf oil spill pretty quickly. But your structural link has to be really good and you need everyone to be focused on it for a period of time. And it's got to be something they really want to do in order for their subconscious to allocate enough, let's call it CPU cycles, for lack of a better term, and energy to the target long after they've gone to dinner or out to a movie or whatever.
Do you think they could clean up chemtrails?
What's that?
Do you think they could be used to clean up the chemtrails?
Well, that's actually funny because... you've heard about Cloudbusters, have you not?
I've heard of them, yeah.
All right. Just a bucket with a bunch of metal shavings, some crystals, some resin they poured in, and a couple of copper pipes with crystals in them pointing up at the sky. That is a basic orgone accumulator, and they focus the energy up at clouds and they break them up. We have something called a chi shooter, which is a small block of orgonite operating as an accumulator, and it's got a little omni-frequency that it's pulsed with. And I took out Evan, and I've done it with Mike and a couple of other people, and we've actually picked out a target cloud, and we've cut a hole right through the middle of the thing. I totally evaporated one in 2.5 minutes using my Rad 5 and nothing more than that and my chi shooter. I linked the big unit to the little one mentally, and I just hit the crap out of it. And I used the earth resonance frequencies, the ones I gave earlier on the show, and that was 7.86, 14.3, 20.8, 27.3, and 33.8. And it worked beautifully.
Cool. That would be what you just described, and I'm not an environmentalist, but you've just described the environmentalist dream.
Well, you got to have enough people doing it to solve the chemtrail issue. That's a lot bigger than a few people with a Cloudbuster or a chi generator getting that job done, because you're talking about an entire sky. And even if one cloud takes you 2.5 minutes and you had 100 devices, you're only going to be able to clear a section of sky.
This is true, but it's a start.
I agree. I'm not arguing that point. I just think that the more people play with these kinds of devices and realize how powerful their mind is, they'll realize that over time, you may not need that generator as much as you think you do. You can run operations just with your mind only and get good effects. And I've run several operations just using the mental energy, and it works, but it's harder to saturate because you need sometimes to saturate for as much as a week for the operation to take effect. And when I say saturation, there's something you need to understand. If you point one of these chi generators, a radionics device with a chi generator, at a bed where your pet sleeps and you put it on the earth resonance balancing frequencies, it will charge that bed up with that energy. But as soon as the dog lays down in the bed, it will actually pull all of that energy directly into the dog, and it will pull it all out of the bed he's sleeping on, because radionics works on negative entropy, meaning the stronger the life force, the more it will pull from a weaker one. And obviously a dog has a much stronger life force than a dog bed does.
This is true.
Does that answer your question?
It does, and it some in the forum somebody was challenging me to describe how to do this stuff, do it mentally. You just described how to do it physically.
Yeah, and you can do this mentally. Just remember, as long as you can hold focus, and I recommend people get Franz Bardon's book, Initiation into Hermetics, to learn how to strengthen their mind to the point where they can focus on one thing for 10 minutes or blank their mind for 10 minutes. And kids today, they don't even have the capacity to go a minute and a half.
This is true. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you dial that number, you'll be able to ask your question or make your comment to Jeff Harvey. Jeff, it sounds like really the radionics device that you're using, or all of these devices, really are just amplifiers for your own mind.
You know, that's one of the things that I came up with a long time ago. For many years, I thought it would be tremendous if you could find a way to amplify your thought. But this isn't quite so much an amplification, because your own mind is stronger than the generator. Otherwise, it could suck your energy out. So what's really going on is it is a tool to get your mind to be able to focus on your target and your trend, the actual thing you want to use to apply, and to be able to generate a type of chi energy field or orgone energy that you can direct with your mind and use your subconscious and your conscious much more effectively than you ever got taught in school. So it's more of a directed energy device, but it's still only making a carrier wave that you, with your conscious mind and your unconscious, direct.
All right. And now I'm going to go back to something that I mentioned, but I'm coming from a different angle here. Are there any negatives that could happen from somebody using a device like this?
Well, let's look at what I have noticed. When we sell a unit to someone, and I've got them on my site, jefftech.net, and there's only one F in Jeff. If you go there and you get a device, before I actually deliver it to you, I give you a call and I say, what are you going to use it for? And what do you want to accomplish? And then I tell them about the steep learning curve of what you've got to learn to be able to use it well. Then I tell them about the bounce back issue. And I also tell them about something we all know about, which is funny, because if it ever happens to you and you haven't been told, you have no clue what's going on. But let's say you've got your unit tuned into whatever operation you're doing. And let's say you're attempting to basically balance yourself or the room or whatever. And something happens, the dog craps on your leg, the wife has an argument with you, or you get a speeding ticket or whatever, and you're in a foul mood. The device can amplify that emotion. So we tell people, never use this unless you've got a clear mind. And again, we go back to, do you have a strong mind or do you have a weak mind? If you have a weak mind, you don't belong with one of these in your possession. And you're the only one who can judge that for yourself, unless you're a real whack job, and then anybody can see that you're not capable of handling something like this.
Okay, but, so what happens? Somebody with a weak, as you say, a weak mind, they tell you, yeah, I can handle it. And so you ship it to them. What's going to happen with them?
Well, let's talk about the person who goes into a gun shop and says, I just need something to have for protection in my home. I'm going to do a little target practice. And he's got a weak mind. And he just really was intending on going down to the local post office and shooting the place up because he's pissed off that his box got damaged in shipping. There's no difference. You can take somebody with a...
No, I'm not asking morally. I'm asking factually, what's going to happen to them?
If they're... Oh, okay. You're asking me to postulate what might happen.
Yeah, a guy with a weak mind hooks up to the device. What happens to him?
Get a lot of results because he can't focus well enough to do much. And those are the kind of people that buy a unit and stick it on a shelf and they just count it as some kind of a toy they never learned how to use properly. But that's the reason why I tell them what kind of education they need to have for this. And there's some courses that are free you can take that'll teach you about the basics, about meditation, about getting your mind into the right state. And we teach them, we have a course on autogenics training, which you know from the term autogenics is similar to self-hypnosis. And so if they do the course, even if they've got a weak mind, they can toughen it up, get their ability to concentrate really good, and really benefit their life dramatically. But if they won't do the coursework and get themselves rolling, then they're just going to stick it on a shelf because they just won't be capable of getting great results. I can get results sometimes in 5 minutes after running an operation. It's not even to saturation yet, and I get results. Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks, sometimes a couple of days.
What kind of results do you get?
Well, there was one program that I ran, a financial program I ran a while back. And I ran this and saturated it for about a week. And within the next 2 weeks, I got 50 orders. Now, you can say that was all by accident, but I've done that same kind of financial operation a couple of other times when I needed cash to come in for a particular bill or something. And it always comes in just enough to get the job done and without any kind of impetus for it. I've done other operations where we have, I tell this story, I think, to you. Evan and I brought both of our devices. At the time, he had a 2400 HD. I had a RAD 5. We went to a Starbucks. We plugged them in. We ran a program linking the two together to attract friends and lovers. Within 22 minutes, a woman who we both knew came in, who hadn't been there in forever, and she walked directly up to us, and she couldn't even see where we were at the time. And she was single and available. Then, within a couple of more minutes, an old friend came in, and we asked both of them, at what specific point did you decide you were going to come here? Now...
All right, we're going to have to get that answer when we come back from this break.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall return right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jeff Harvey. And Jeff, just as we went to break, you just told us about an experiment that you ran using two different devices linked. And you and your friend had specifically targeted for the device to reach out to friends and lovers. And you told us about the two people that came in. You asked them, at what specific point did they decide to come in? And then we went to break.
And it was within about a couple of minutes of the time we started the operation. We had a more staggering one recently where we were affecting a courtroom case. There was a real slime ball who had been, well, he ran up a tab. This guy's a multimillionaire. He ran up a tab with a fellow attorney who had been protecting him and basically doing his court cases and taking care of him. And he decided he just wasn't going to pay his several hundred thousand dollar bill. And every time they went to court to try and solve it, he would pull something that would cause the judge to rule in his favor, and it made no sense. And she couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, we figured out he was doing something similar to what we were doing. So I took one of my young apprentices, who has since surpassed me in his work, and what he did was he ran several filters to influence the situation and the individuals involved. And when a court case came up, he was testifying, the bad guy was testifying from his cell phone out of the country, somewhere over in the Philippines. And for some reason, his cell phone just died right in the middle of his talking. So the judge says, well, let's wait. I'm sure he'll come back and call us back and we'll get this done and we'll get the answers. Well, he didn't. And normally, the judge will just reconvene at a later date. And instead ruled in favor of our client after multiple rulings for the other individual time and time again. So there's another fellow by the name of John McDonald who does court cases all the time. And he's extraordinarily good. And this is something that's going on now where people are using this sort of device to basically balance the scales of justice when the bad guys have more influence than they need over the courtroom. Did I lose you?
No, I'm thinking.
Oh, I was wondering. I smelled wood burning. I wasn't sure.
Okay. Now, see, that brings up the possibility of something here.
Okay.
You got a kid that's into the comic books and he's into the superheroes. He's into all of that stuff and he plays a lot of video games and got a really active imagination and not much social life. And you aim this device at that kid and all of a sudden he goes off and shoots up a theater. Possible?
Oh, I think it's definitely possible, depending on what you're using as the trend.
How likely?
If you're using a trend to balance him out, no, that's not possible.
How likely is it that some of these weird situations that we've seen
could have been influenced by that, weird. Yeah. Most of the influences we've seen, or the instances we've seen, in my estimation, were catalyzed by drugs. And I'm not saying you've got drug addicts here. I'm saying that these people were dosed, many of them. But there's absolutely no reason why you can't influence the subconscious mind of someone using these. My particular device is a little bit out of the ordinary because I've had mine modified. I just got it back because I was locking down one of my oscillators. And the manufacturer put two extra jacks in mine. And he basically set it up so that my trend and my trend environment can have voice modulation on the energy field. Now, you'd say, well, what's that going to do? You can't hear it anyway because it's a field you're modulating. But you can take your human voice, you can record a wave file with neurolinguistics programming suggestions and maybe some embedded commands. And you can plug that into the software that you get for these And you can actually have that play 24 hours a day and target the subconscious mind, or even a particular structure in a particular mind. And
okay, so what are the distance limits of this device?
There are none.
So if I wanted to target somebody in out on the West Coast and I'm on the East Coast, not a problem?
The back end of Pluto is not a problem.
The back end? I don't know anybody back there.
I don't either that I know of.
Okay, so, I mean, I do understand that I am among the unwashed masses who are really not initiated into all of this, and I mean, we don't really know a lot about it. But it sounds like really dangerous potentials here.
I agree with you. If you use it improperly or in a way that's negative, you can get the same results you can get if you're using it in a positive way. I just think I don't want to be out in the wild west of the subconscious without a howitzer in my pocket. No more than I would go into the back end of Chicago or the south end of Philly without a .45 in my pocket.
Oh, man, just talk about having a .45 in Chicago and they go nuts. I've never seen anything like it, man. You know, it's the murder capital of the United States.
Yes, I know.
And you got all these murders happening with guns where the guns are just illegal. You can't have a gun.
Unless
proving that when you make them illegal, only law-abiding citizens mind, and the other people that are not law-abiding go get illegal guns. And, you know, it's, oh, well, that's a whole different discussion. But anyway.
With you totally. I look at it this way. There is no law that applies to me if I say it doesn't. And I realize that's the same mindset of any criminal. But sooner or later, you get to the point where you realize that my safety is more important than every other person on the planet.
Well, it's all about to change, though, because the I believe it's the Supreme Court has ruled that Illinois has to come up with a concealed carry law, and they've done so.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
And Jeff, good to see you. Good to hear your voice.
Likewise, Steve. How's your day coming?
Wilhelm Reich, Franz Barden, you like to hang out with dangerous friends, don't you?
Well, considering how dead they are, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but you're sitting there right in the middle of the energetic field that they created and thinking the same dangerous thoughts that they thought, and you know, you're messing around with the same stuff that got them into some deep trouble, but nevertheless, I appreciate what you're doing. You know, this is great stuff. Especially since we know there's an awful lot of mind control going on out there. It's in the hands of all the wrong people. And it's good to see someone experimenting and working with technology that can counteract some of that mess.
You made one of the points that Kevin and I didn't talk about yet is another reason why I use this device. I change my frequency programs from time to time. Because your mind does habituate to single frequencies and sometimes to multiples. So I change these, and it does a buffering of some kind of interference and mind control, and it works quite well. So it's one of the reasons why I have one, and when I shipped mine off recently, I felt naked as a jaybird without mine for a while. But yeah, I think it's a really good device for hampering mind control technologies.
And that's a good thing. You know, Kevin, I'm glad you brought up the idea of these young guys whose minds are overactive being affected by some of this negative mental influence that comes from external technology. You know, the one reason why selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors and antidepressants are so widely prescribed right now is that they affect the brain waves and put them in a very very limited, narrow range where they're most easily controlled and easily attacked and directed by these external energy waves.
That's why you're seeing a lot of school children pulling these shootings, because most of them are on these type of drugs, Ritalin, etc., and most of them become a little psychotic, a little suicidal, and a little homicidal. And, you know, as little as somebody spilling your milk at the cafeteria can set these kids off. And it's the school system has become just a dangerous place because they've forgotten how to raise children. And the parents have abdicated their responsibility to the school, which is only interested in producing a mindless drone for a factory.
Well, let me say something about that. In a lot of cases, that's the case. The parents have abdicated. But it's also true that the state has stolen the power and authority of the parents. You know, when I was a kid, it was not illegal to spank a child.
Right.
And, you know, obviously I lived. I didn't get spanked for everything that happened. I got grounded a lot, as you did. But there were times when I got spanked. Now, I'm going to tell you about a time when I got hit with a fist. I was 16 years old, so I was a minor. I sneaked out at night. I'd been out most of the night. I came back home, and I had been drinking. So I was not in full control of my faculties. And I sneaked in the house. It was all dark. I could barely make out the shapes of furniture. And I tiptoed quietly through the living room and down the hall to my room. And as I started into my bedroom, I ran into my dad standing right at the door.
Oh, boy.
He said quietly, "Where have you been?" I said, "That's my business."
Ooh,
and
boy.
I started to push past him.
Answer.
Yeah, well, he was a Marine, too. I started to push past him, and he just firmly pushed me back, and he said, "I ask you a question. Where have you been?" And I said, "That's my business." And I punched him right in the face.
Oh, Lord.
Well,
his head kind of jerked back. But look, my dad's bigger than me. My dad's biceps were about the size of my thighs. So he reached out and he grabbed my shirt right at the collar, and he lifted me up off the ground so that we were eye to eye. And he turned me around and set me down in my room, and he said, "Boy, when you're big enough to hit a man, you're big enough to fight one." Pow! And he hit me and lights out.
Yep.
Now today, they would put that guy in jail for that.
Yeah.
But that is exactly, that is precisely what Kevin Smith needed at that moment.
Yeah.
And my activity of sneaking out at nighttime stopped, and I never made the mistake of striking him again.
That's a great story, because quite frankly, we all have a point where we do a little rebelling that's perhaps not justified, and we wind up paying the price.
Oh, I paid a price. Man, I woke up in the morning, and my nose and lips were just swollen. Hey, Steve, hang on. We have to take this break, and we'll be back right after this.
Sure.
One, two, three.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Steve, you still with us?
I sure am, Kevin.
All right. But, you know, I was telling that story about that little incident with me and my dad. I learned, you can imagine what it's like to attack a Marine, but you haven't lived till you actually try that. I mean, that's nuts. But, you know, that's exactly what I needed. But now they would put him in jail.
Yeah.
That's the only time he ever hit me with a fist. But it was after I hit him with a fist. And I was 16. Okay, so back to Steve. Steve, you have another question or comment?
Well, just to develop the one that we're already on, I think, Kevin, you know, you talked about the price that you paid the next day, you know, with your bruises and your swollen parts of your facial anatomy there.
Yeah.
That you earned.
You sure earned
those stripes, buddy.
And I had a hangover.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Double whammy.
Oh, it was terrible. And he made me get up and paint my room.
Oh,
triple
Jesus.
Whammy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the point I make is we as a culture are suffering far worse consequences because the government has stolen or has taken away from parents their parental authority and their parental obligations. And they've put the kids in these public schools, which are nothing more than government indoctrination centers, you know, and they're designed to make sure that they produce a product, you know, at whenever the kids either drop out or graduate, whichever comes first, they produce something that can't think and whose brain waves are going to function within a very narrow, low range. And those are very easy to control with their own radionics devices, you know, the things that they operate out of Cheyenne Mountain and so on, and that come through the airwaves on TV, the mass media, and through the movies and the video games that they play. You know, it keeps people very predictable. And it keeps people very controllable, and they just don't go places in their minds that they need to go. They can't think original thoughts. They can't deploy logic the way they're supposed to. And it's a good thing, Jeff, that you're working on a technology that, you know, it probably won't go far enough. It won't reach into enough hands, but at least you're doing something. You're doing something. And Kevin, you too, you know, with your show that you you present people with the opportunity to think, you stimulate minds, and you push people into situations where they have to think, you know, this is such a needful thing because our culture is suffering from a lack of thought. You know, critical thinking is the real national deficit right now.
Correct.
And I just appreciate what both you guys are doing and want you to keep up the good work.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Great stuff, huh?
Well, he's dead on, right? Critical thinking is just so absent. And that's why I think that, you know, you get one of these devices if you've got children, stick it in the house and balance it and get them on a diet that's not going to train wreck their endocrine system and cause them to act funky, and then people won't put them on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot to solving these issues, but, you know, if you look at some parents out there, they handle it. So we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and hopefully pave a few new roadways for using your mind.
Well, let's talk about your website. Now, people that are interested, I'm pretty sure that there are people in the audience who now have an interest in more information about these devices or perhaps purchasing one. So your website is the place to go. What's the web address again?
All right, it's www.jeftech.net. There's two things, though, I'd like to point out. I'm cheating a little bit. I use something called Spirazan tablets to boost certain nutrient loads in my body so I can do some of the things I do. And I also use a new kind of probiotic called a sporebiotic, which survives the intestinal acids. And when it repopulates the intestinal tract, you get all these connections back up to the brain and other organs that allows you to have a whole better level of control of thought processes. And they're on the website.
Okay, and you personally use them?
I would never not use them.
Okay. And they are not pharmaceuticals, right?
No. Well, that's not true. The sporebiotic is available only through a licensed practitioner like myself or a medical doctor. You cannot and never will be able to get it in Walmart.
Okay. All right, so do you have different types of these radionics devices on your site, or is there just one? Or
no, there's probably five. Mm-hmm. I handle everything from the Rad 1000 all the way up to the 12 generator unit. I've got the next one down, a 5 generator unit. And you know, you get up to a 12 generator unit, you got a lot of knobs to turn and settings to do. And I got to tell you, I get more accomplished with my 5 than you can imagine. So I just don't see any need to go bigger than that.
But you do have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's 5 generators. It takes me about a half hour to properly set a stick pad response on all 15 knobs. Each generator's got 3 knobs, coarse, medium, and fine.
And it takes how long?
It takes about a half hour to focus on, concentrate, and get a stick pad response, which is an ideomotor response where you think about what it is you're trying to accomplish while you turn the rheostat or the potentiometer with one hand while you lightly trace counterclockwise circles with your finger on the stick pad. And when your mind locks onto the information field that matches that pattern you're thinking about, your finger will stick. It's exactly the same thing as the ideomotor response that you get when you're doing remote viewing, if you're doing coordinate remote viewing with pen and paper.
Because of time, I'm going to have to ask for a yes and no, yes or no answer on this. You've talked about the similarities between remote viewing and this technology that you're using. Could they be linked and used together?
Yes, I do that.
Okay. Very, very cool. So where do you go from here, Jeff? What's next?
Well, if anybody needs to talk to me, do not send me an email. Call me. My number is 570-219-2025. I detest typing. My next projects are going to have to do with time and digging up some answers on this issue so I can move that forward. But the remote influencing has become something that is becoming a very big field, and we're going to keep working on it.
All right, Jeff, stay online with me for the next couple of minutes here as I bring this in for a landing. And I want to thank Jeff for being with us. There are possibly other people and probably other people around the country and around the world who are working with this kind of technology in one way or another. I don't know anybody else, though, that has as much information about it and that has personally used it in as varied, in as many varied ways as Jeff has, and who is as articulate as he is in explaining it. And so it's always an especial pleasure to have Jeff Harvey with us, and we will be having him back. I did not ask him if it is possible that radionics can take him around a corner from which he cannot return, but if it does not do that to him, we will have him back in the future, and we'll ask him that question. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.